to Embracing the Muse. I'm Sally Fox, the author of Meeting the Muse After Midlife, and I'm on a quest to understand how we can live our most creative lives at any age, but especially as we age. Join me in exploring what it takes to live a more creatively expressive life, with its challenges and its joys, its ups, its downs. And what better place to be learning about living a more creative life than on Vashon Island, my hometown, where we seem to abound in creatives. And I don't just mean artists, musicians, and writers, because we're all creative, and that's the thing. We all have an authentic spirit, a spark that is just dying to be expressed in a whole host of ways. So I'm glad you're here, and I hope we'll learn a lot together from my guests who will share their ideas, their inspiration, their tips, and their techniques for how we can all live abundant and creative lives. I am so excited today to bring you someone who is well known on the island, Richard Rogers. Many of you may know him through his Abundant Community Service, and we'll talk about that. But I met him in a very special way. He and I were both members of the Puget Sound Cooperative Credit Union, and we both had pieces in their member show. And as we were admiring each other's art, we started talking, and we talked about what it was like to really come into another stage of creativity after 60. And lo and behold, Richard had a lot to share about that. And so I can't wait to go into some of that, to explore some of your earlier background, Richard, as well as how you've been living an amazingly creative life after 60. So thank you so much for coming today and sharing with me.
Thank you for inviting me. Be happy to share my story.
Thank you. Well, let's set a little bit of context. Take me back to the old days, you know, prehistory, when you were in school or in college, and maybe even the early days. When did you first know you were creative?
Ah, that's an interesting question. And I would say I've always been drawn to, you know, beautiful imagery. And so I had cameras as a kid and took the typical pictures, but then wanted to get more unusually creative photos, like when my family went to the World's Fair in New York in the early 60s. What do those lights look like shining on Times Square in the rain? So that, I would say, would be one of the early times.
And then did you follow that as a student, as you grew up, as you went to college? What came next?
Well, actually, I went to Florida State as an engineering student, and I had remarkable skills in math and physics, and so I was put into very advanced classes, which I immediately failed. Spent most of my time looking out the window at the clouds, and fortunately ended up in mass communications and studied photography there with some fairly well-known photographers. So that sparked that part of my life.
So you got professional training early on, having saved yourself from a career in math and science that probably wouldn't have suited your creative spirit.
That's probably true. I still use those math skills with graphic design. And then at one point, I was following a Indian guru, and a friend of mine thought that I was very skilled as a graphic designer, and I had done very little graphic design, but I was brought to Denver to the headquarters and learned from very accomplished graphic designers.
So interesting. Let me just pause. You had a degree in mass communications, but you didn't go straight into graphic design.
No. Yeah.
But the world leads us as it does, and then you found yourself doing graphic design at age 30, 40?
No, I was early 20s.
Early 20s, so you got a good start there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I did not know design, but the people I worked with went to, like, Rhode Island School of Design, which is very auspicious.
Yeah, very
so
prestigious.
I learned my skill, which I'm still using today.
And did you love it?
Yeah, I thoroughly enjoyed it.
Mm-hmm. And when you were doing graphic design, did you think of yourself as an artist or?
No, that's another interesting question. I can hardly draw stick figures to this day, and have had two art classes in my entire career. But what I do as a graphic designer is assemble, let's say, photography, artwork, and words, and make it into a pleasingly presentable form. So whether that be a brochure or a website.
And examples of your work are available at Rogers Design.
Rogers-graphics.com.
Rogers-graphics.com.
Or just look in the window at the Voice of Ashon studio.
We've all seen your work around town, but I want to underscore what you just said, because a lot of people think that in order to be creative, you have to be an artist. Mm-hmm. And in order to be able to be an artist, you have to draw. And that kicks out probably 80% of the people right there, thinking that they have to draw. And even though they could learn to draw, many just don't have that proclivity, so they give up art. But you created a very artistic calling with the ability to do stick figures.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I believe so. And I never call myself an artist until later in life when I started having photo shows and realized, finally.
Well, tell me about how that happened, that you never called yourself an artist until you had photo shows.
Very interesting. My sister was a very accomplished artist, illustrator, and potter. And in my young brain, I said, oh, she's an artist, so I have to do something else. And, you know, that was just one of many things. Engineering drew me as well. But then later, I realized after doing graphic design, which again is one step removed from fine art, there was a photography show on Vashon Island at Open Space called Catch Us While You Can for people that have done art for 25 years or longer on the island. And they say, choose two photos. Choose two photos that one represents your past and one the present. And so I had one photo of a bicycle tree and one of an unusual cloud. And one was taken with a camera on Kodachrome, the others with my phone, and that represented the span. In the course of doing that, I found about 15 or 20 other photos that I really, really liked, which became the essence of my first ever one-person photo show.
So it was that show at Open Space that kind of opened the door to thinking of yourself in a different way.
Yeah, yeah.
Isn't it interesting, though, that we get these messages? And I think a lot of graphic designers who are very artful as well often labor under the impression that graphic design is kind of a sub art, you know, and then it makes it hard to make that next step into whatever it might be.
Mm.
And then again, when you also have family system stuff and you're not in the allocated artist role in family,
right.
That can make it hard.
Yeah, there was already an artist in the family.
There was one artist, yeah. So you started taking your photography to another level, or at least seeing yourself as a fine arts photographer.
Yeah, as a graphic designer, I also art-directed photo shoots for international companies in Florida and here, even with Beals Roses, who used to grow roses right here. And they flew us down to Columbia to do a photography session. That's where they grew their roses. And all those years of doing art direction, something sunk in. Once a client said, we need a set of photography styled with food. Can you do it? And I ended up doing it at home and realized that I had learned from all those photographers.
Did they train your eye? Do you think there's a photographer's eye that's a little different?
Yeah, absolutely. In the same way, when you go to an art gallery or to a musical concert, you come away being a little more sensitive to that.
Tell me what a photographer's eye is like. How do you see the world just a little bit differently when you're in photography mode?
I don't know about all photography. Some people see things graphically. I see that beauty, you know. I just took a photo the other day of a flower growing out of the rocks at Thriftway. And the woman tending to the flower said, oh, yeah, I plant those seeds just to see if anybody notices.
I love that.
Or it might be a cloud or it might be a person. But I tend to look at things more in an unorthodox way, you know.
Well, I don't know if it's unorthodox. I mean, it might be, but it also feels very mindful.
Yes.
And made it very artful, because I was listening to a well-known photography teacher online, and he was saying, don't go photograph things. Photograph the experience. Photograph what you're feeling. Photograph that special other thing. And most of us, when we run around with our smartphones, we're trying to capture the thing, and it doesn't work out that well.
Yeah, so if you were at a concert trying to take a photo of a rock star, I would maybe more interested in what are the lights doing? You know, what is the reflection on the back of that person's head that's taking the photo? So,
and how's the experience reflected in the tears of your neighbor?
Yeah, that's a beautiful way to say it.
Yeah. So how old were you when you crossed the line and saw yourself as a photographer in a new way?
Well, when I came out as an artist.
When you came out as an artist, I love that.
That yeah. would have been, I believe I was 71.
Long time ago.
At that point, yeah.
Mm-hmm. How old were you?
76.
And, well, not in 71.
No, the age was 71.
Oh, you were 71. I got that wrong. Because I'm going, if it was 1971, you would really have put some years on there. And I don't see that in your face. That's what I loved when we were talking at the credit union.
Yeah.
To think 71 to cross the line is incredible.
It was just that the time was right. And I had spent a whole career, probably close to 50 years, being a graphic designer, orchestrating, you know, beautiful things, photography for people, food, flowers. Mm-hmm. And so, as you said, something rubbed off. I learned from those people. Well, and then, I guess, well, frankly, my sister had died just before that. And I said, And it was very coincidental. As a matter of fact, I got in touch with my first photography teacher, who was in Tallahassee, quite old, and there was something in my sister's home that I needed to return to her. And she said in her wonderful Southern accent, well, that's wonderful, dear. Are you still taking pictures? And so I sent her some of my photographs, and she sent me back the most beautiful review. And I felt like I got an A+ 50 years later. And I think that, more than anything, made me realize, yes, you're an artist.
How wonderful to have that endorsement. And also to feel like sometimes it's like the road that T.S. Eliot once wrote about, where you're spiraling around to come back to who you've always been.
Yeah.
Yeah. What are your aspirations? Because, you know, some would say, well, it's 71, 72, or wherever you are right now. It's a little late to try and go professional, or it's a little late to aspire to greatness or do all the learning that you might want to do as an artist. What do you aspire to?
Well, love these questions. For me personally, I'd love to have people go, wow, and see through my eyes, wow, look at the beauty over there. And also, later in life, I began doing comedy writing. And so it's wonderful to sit in Church of Great Rain, or now church, and have somebody laugh at something I wrote at 4 a.m. So my aspiration would be to bring happiness and beauty into the world, or to share that. So, not bring it, but share it.
So it's not like wanting fame or fortune, but more like changing one life, one little, you know, bumping somebody along so that they see the world a little differently, or have a bit of joy or appreciate beauty for a moment because they've been around what you did.
Yeah, yeah. And I have a story about someone else, if I might.
Yes, please.
About 15 years ago, I was connected with an artist in Palm Beach, Florida. He does beautiful sculptures. She spent 40 years in the fashion industry and then started doing sculpture. And after probably, like I said, 15 years, I read her biography. And she said after she retired, she was in New York City and walked into an art gallery and saw a sculpture by Akio Takamori, who used to live in my neighborhood. years ago. I never met the man. And I told her that story, and we were both, wow. So that's the coincidence part. But just the fact that she, after a 40-year career, was inspired to become a sculptor at age 60 is remarkable. And it was his creativity that inspired her. And I got to tell that story to his widow later, and she was happy to hear it.
That's how we inspire each other. Because I know when I wrote that book, Meeting the Muse After Midlife, and I go, I didn't write it to win a Pulitzer, but what feeds me is having somebody say, I went back to the piano, or I decided that I could, and fill in the blanks, because they got that little spark that sent them on their way. And it sounds like your colleague got her spark.
Yeah.
What was it like becoming a comedy writer later in life?
Well, that was quite interesting. I worked mostly in solitary now, not solitary confinement, but solitary at a desk, and have all these weird ideas running through my head. And I had attended the show called Church of Great Rain that used to be at the Red Bicycle, which is a little bar in town.
And we should just say, for anybody who's not on Vashon, it's, how do we describe Church of Great Rain?
It's a radio show. Musical comedy radio show, like it was described as Saturday Night Live meets Monty Python, you know, or something along those lines.
Brilliant.
Prairie Home Companion, if you will, mm-hmm. that we had a great time laughing at ourselves. And so I had this weird idea and sent it in, and they liked it. And then they said, would you like to write some more? And so that just took off.
Did you have any consideration, because I know this is something that's affected me, that with so many brilliant comedians on the island, it'd be intimidating to be writing with them and for them?
Actually, it was very collaborative, and we used to do things, what we call writer's jams, where we would get together and brought this idea, and one of our friends, Bill Wood, says, I got this idea for a weird song, and it was Keep Vashon Weird, which we will post in the online version so people can listen. And I could bring an idea, and someone said, wow, that's wonderful, but what if we did this? In the same way, I could make suggestions. And also to sit in the audience and see the actor change it on stage was also enlightening. It could be intimidating and frustrating, but for the most part, it was wonderful.
Doesn't sound like you were intimidated. It sounded like you were on a strong learning curve working with great people.
Yeah.
And developing your skill as you went and having some great fun along the way. Yeah.
And that's still happening. There's a revival of that show called Church, C-H-R-C-H.
Yeah, it's one of our island treasures. What would you say to somebody who is past 60 and concerned that they're not good enough? Or plagued with comparing themselves, the kind of person, and I know this person well because I have a little bit myself, who would be thinking about, oh my gosh, there's so many great creatives, there's really not much room for one more. How would you talk to them? What advice would you give them?
Again, a very good question. And I have talked to people like that. I'm part of a photo club that was created through the Senior Center. And often people will come on and say, oh, I would come on the Zoom, because we've been meeting by Zoom, and say, oh, I was an artist, but I've got this phone and I don't think my photos are any good, and they're absolutely wonderful. So I have a chance to encourage them. And I think maybe they also are intimidated because those of us in the group might have some really nice looking photos, but every one of us will actually look at this person's photos and say, wow, that's really nice. And so, but as far as how to encourage, I'd say just don't give up and don't limit yourself with the inner critic.
You also gave us what I think are two great clues, because your photography group is a group. So people, there's a social engagement, there's a reinforcement. And I bet that you practice positive regard. You know, you're there to support people, not to criticize them or do critique that sends people running to the bathroom in tears. And those attributes of having folks who will support your journey with positive regard and suggestions and do it in a fun and social way. I think that's it's part of the key, I think, to launching this next creative stage.
Yeah, and I'm trying to think. I can't think of a single instance where someone was like argumentative or in disagreement about critique. I mean, I showed this photo one day and somebody says, oh, why don't you crop it this way? And I had a little what moment, but then when I did, I said, you're right, that looks good.
Brilliant, yeah. As we go into our last minutes, let me ask you a question. You may not have an answer, but I'm curious because you said you went to Denver following a guru of sorts, years a meditation teacher. Has stepping into this new creative stage changed your spiritual life in any way?
I would say I'm still drawn to beauty, which was the attraction to a spiritual path. I later realized it was not the religion. It was actually the aha and the beauty. And I still love to look at, for instance, this week, a peony and go, wow, and want to capture that image. And so I would call that my spiritual just calling would be, What has beauty?
It makes sense to me. It's a connection in the moment with that which is transcendent. And the good news is you don't have to wait for church or you don't have to wait for your meditation. You can go shopping at Thriftway and see the little plant growing up through the sidewalk or wherever it comes.
Exactly. And I think each individual brings their eyes and spirit to the situation. Some people might walk by, a brick mason say, and go, wow, that was really nice the way they installed the brick. Or a florist might say, what is that geranium doing growing out of the sidewalk? Mm-hmm. So we each bring our own mindset to the situation as well as our own spirit.
And hopefully also can be moved, maybe even occasionally changed by those experiences. Well, Richard, where can people connect with you both as a graphic designer, but also as a photographer? Where can people see your art?
Oh, I participate regularly on a Facebook page called Visual Delights on Vashon, which is wonderful because we'll see anything from flowers in a sidewalk to a sunrise. So that would be one place where I share my photography.
I think I've seen that page, and I'll go back to it because when you have the opportunity to be around people who are looking with these tuned eyes, the photographers, it actually changes your eye.
Yes.
And even though our island is incredibly beautiful, there are times when we just have seen it, you know, and it's another beautiful view of Mount Rainier and another sunset. But to see it through the eyes of the folks who have been producing those photographs is something else again. So thank you for that.
You're welcome, and you bring to mind a recent walk my wife Susan and I took over to see the troll in Upper Point Robinson, and I got to help briefly with the construction, so that was fun. I built two little birdhouses, and we walked, and we saw it from different angles, and so I told people that I saw later, we went with a fresh eye. Mm-hmm. And took a walk behind the troll and got a totally different view, and then down to the beach, and there's the lighthouse, and there's the mountain, but in a different view than you would typically see.
I think that's a great point, and a great point maybe to end on, because people say, oh, I've gone and seen the troll. That troll is a living creature, and it's not just a thing to see. You can see it in so many different angles. You can see it in people's eyes. You can see it in the community it generates. And I thank you for reminding me that a photographer does more than take pretty pictures. Photographer can open up a way to see the world anew. So thank you for that. And thank you for role modeling what it is to live a creative life after 70. I think you're an inspiration.
Well, thank you for that acknowledgement. That's an aspiration I have to live up to.
Thanks so much for listening. I look forward to being back soon and bringing you another conversation with an island creative who can show you how it's possible to embrace your muse and live your richest and most creative life. Till then, thanks for joining us, and thanks to Voice of Vashon, 101.9 FM, for hosting this show. I'm your host, Sally Fox, and I look forward to being with you soon.